Alright, let's see if this works. So my name is Jennifer Toller-Edowskin. I'm from the University of California, Los Angeles, just up the road a little bit, 2 hours or so. And I'm going to talk today about women's autonomy, household structure, and maternal child nutrition in Haiti. And before I start, I should let you know that I have no relationships to disclose. A substantial literature on developing countries focuses on the role of women in the health and well-being of the family. We know that women make many contributions to their families that affect health. They contribute to household labor, they're involved in access and sharing of information, they make decisions about childcare and feeding, and they make decisions about when to seek health services for themselves and for their children. Evidence from around the world shows that women's status and decision-making autonomy within the household are linked with positive health outcomes. That is, when women are given the opportunity to make decisions, their choices benefit the whole family. Evidence links increased women's decision-making autonomy with lower fertility and increased birth spacing, increased child survival, and evidence from Asia and South America link increased autonomy with reduced chronic and acute malnutrition for women and for children. So this study is set in Haiti, which is the poorest country of the Americas. More than 70% of the population lives in extreme poverty. More than 40% of households face food insecurity, and 50% of households lack safe drinking water. And these statistics were before the last set of storms and hurricanes, which hit Haiti, so you can only imagine that the situation in the current moment is much worse. On top of these unmet basic needs, the population faces health challenges, including high fertility, high maternal and infant mortality, low life expectancy, and high rates of infectious diseases. Malnutrition is endemic, and this is related both to famine and natural disasters, as well as to political instability. Haiti is a unique context to examine the role of women in family health. This is because members of a couple frequently do not share the same home, usually due to migration in search of work. Little is known about how such separation of members of a couple might affect women's decision-making autonomy and ultimately family health. So in this study, I look at three research questions. First, I look at what are the levels of child stunting, child wasting, and maternal underweight, treating those as indicators for the overall health of women and children. I examine maternal, child, and family factors associated with the outcomes, and I examine whether co-residence of the mother with a husband or partner moderates the association of maternal, child, and family factors with the nutritional outcomes. So for this study, I used data from the 2005 Haiti Demographic and Health Survey, which is a nationally representative sample of almost 10,000 households. It includes questionnaire and anthropometric measures, and data were collected from households from women ages 15 to 49 and their children under age 5. For the current study, I randomly selected one child per woman. And so after removing cases with missing data, this left about 1,700 mother-child dyads. For the dependent variables, like I said, I look at stunting, wasting, and maternal underweight. Child stunting is defined as height for age of at least 2 standard deviations below the international reference standard. Wasting is defined as child weight for height at least 2 standard deviations below the reference standard. And maternal underweight, or chronic energy deficiency, is defined as the body mass index of less than 18.5. Among the independent variables I look at, there are maternal sociodemographic characteristics like age, education, and pregnancy status, child characteristics like age and sex, and family and household characteristics including household wealth, maternal co-residence with a husband or partner, maternal decision-making autonomy, and access to money. The measure of maternal decision-making autonomy is based on the degree of involvement of the woman in 5 types of household decisions: healthcare, large purchases, daily purchases, visits to family, and how to spend money that the partner earns. And so this is a continuous measure, a scale score, and it ranges from 0 to 5. This table shows descriptive statistics of my sample of mother-child dyads. The average mother age is 28 years with about 5 years of education. Children are on average 28 months old, so a little over 2 years. 63% of the moms live with a husband or partner. About half of the kids are female. Nearly a quarter have recently had a diarrheal illness, which is a pretty significant indicator in developing countries. And there at the bottom are the statistics for my outcomes. Among the children, 21% are stunted, 10% are wasted, and 13% of the moms are underweight. So in effort to bring out the big points of a pretty intense study, I have a handout that most of you have in front of you, and it may be helpful if you refer to the table as I present the results here. So for child stunting, the results are in table 1. And basically, big picture, what it shows is that maternal education, household wealth, and maternal access to money for their own use were negatively associated with the odds of child stunting. So what that says is that these factors protect against chronic malnutrition for children. On the other hand, maternal pregnancy and child age were positively associated with the log odds of child stunting, indicating these factors are related to risk for chronic malnutrition for children. For child wasting, the results are in table 2, and only a few factors were significantly associated with child wasting. Specifically, rural residents and having had a recent diarrheal illness were positively associated with the log odds of child wasting. Again, these factors may be related to risk for acute malnutrition for children. For maternal underweight, this was the most difficult outcome to look at. Only one factor was significantly associated with maternal underweight, and that was household wealth. So as household wealth increases, the log odds of maternal underweight decrease, indicating a protective effect. For child stunting, there were additional significant results. There was an interaction between maternal decision-making autonomy and co-residence with a husband or male partner, and I've graphed it for you here. So this graph shows the predicted probability of a child being stunted based on the maternal decision-making autonomy score and whether the mother is living with a husband or not. In the yellow line, which is the line for women who co-reside with a husband, we see the expected relationship that as maternal decision-making autonomy increases, the probability of their children being stunted decreases. However, for women who are not co-residing with a husband or partner, as maternal decision-making increases, the probability of being stunted increases. And there's a couple features specific to Haiti that I think may be explaining this relationship. In Haiti, women who have a child and do not co-reside with a husband or partner, usually the partner is away working and the woman's residing with another family member. And so in such situations, high autonomy of a woman may indicate that they don't have another family member to help them make decisions or to contribute to their support in other ways. Another feature of this graph, this relationship that I think is important, is that the overall probability of being stunted for the children is lower when their mom is not co-residing with a partner. So, you know, begs the question, why could that be? And even though these models control for socioeconomic status through maternal education and household wealth, it is still possible that there is some measure, particularly probably related to food security, that is different for women who do not co-reside with their husband or partner. It's possible that the partner who is working away is sending money home and contributing to a more secure food environment for the family. So what do these results tell us? They confirm findings from other areas of the world and underscore the importance of women's autonomy and household structure in family health. For child wasting and maternal underweight, so an acute measure of malnutrition for children and the chronic measure of malnutrition for women, we need additional research to determine the role of upstream macro-level factors such as access to health care and clean water. For child stunting, I found that maternal education, household wealth, and maternal autonomy may protect children from stunting, but it may also depend on the context. The association between decision-making autonomy and child stunting depends on whether the mother is living with a partner, and this has important implications for studies of household dynamics and family health. Specifically, we really need to consider what the meaning of women's autonomy is based on the context of the family. So thank you. Those are my results.
Thank you.